somewhat of a different style of a message that I normally preach, but felt like it was what the Lord wanted us to do tonight. And I'll tell you from the onset, this is not a shouting message. This probably ain't going to stir your emotions, but it's a needed message. And I'm probably going to have a series along this line and be different subjects, but under the heading of a challenge to consider. And I come tonight to challenge you. I watched a Western yesterday, and it was all about who was the quickest draw and the last man standing. But it was, they fought who challenged them. And the Bible has challenges to us. And I believe if we will take the challenge, it'll help us to stand. And especially this one tonight that we'll kick off with. Probably everybody here is not is scripturally literate. You have grown up in church, most of us. If you grew up in church, raise your hand. Look around. If you have a Bible, raise it. Let me see. Look around. All right. Here's the challenge. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to ask you to sign a waiver. I would recommend accountability. That's good in your prayer life, having a partner, and scripture reading. So it's good to have a pattern and a practice of reading the Bible daily. It's important to know what you believe and believe what you know. It's important. It's absolutely important. And I thought about dealing with the subject of reading your Bible. And I know that is elementary and plain and on the bottom shelf. But I'm not going to deal primarily with reading your Bible tonight. The Bible commands us to do that. But tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 2, God goes a step above reading our Bible and gives us specific instruction. And I wonder, and I thought today, if you are not a teacher or a preacher, if you're a preacher and you don't study, you're pathetic. That's right. If you're a teacher and you don't study, you're pathetic. But Christians are commanded to study. Not just read, but study. That's right. And trust me, I will be the first to write. I hate studying. I hate it. Never liked it. But God put something in me, not because I'm a preacher and do it for a living, but as a Christian, as a believer, to study the Word of God. And I promise you, the more you do it, the better you will become at it. And the better you become at it, the more confident you will be, and the more you will love doing it and digging out the treasures of the Word of God. So let's look and see what the Bible has to say about studying the Bible. And take this challenge personal. I'm sincere about that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and ask you, have you studied your Bible this week or even read it this week? I will say, before I move on, your mouth would drop if you've seen the statistics I've read, how many, I can't even say minutes, a day Christians read their Bible is seconds, and it's a very low number. It's a single digit. number. And so that's to our shame. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we wonder why we don't have faith. And we wonder why Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? I believe it's directly linked to a departure from the word of God. And so let's look tonight, 2 Timothy 2:15. And please know my heart tonight. I'm not here to rebuke you. I'm here to encourage you to study your Bible. It'll help you. It'll help your family. It'll help your Christian life. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Everybody knows this verse. I'm sure could quote it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we all know that verse, don't we? If you knew that verse was in the Bible, raise your hand. Okay, you just told on yourself, where much is given, much is required. That's what the Bible says. So we know it's there. We know that we've been commanded to do so. And let's just start out honest. Our flesh don't like to study. It don't. Mine hates it. This morning, I had set my clock like normal, get up about 3:45 or thereabout, and that thing went off, and I usually go to sleep earlier on Saturday. I didn't go to sleep till about 1 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. I laid there and laid there. And at 3-something, this body didn't want to move. And I hit that phone and wanted to throw it. And I hit, what you call it? Yeah, if it had been called something. I hit it enough times that it quit doing it. And didn't even know I was doing it. I'll tell you how bad it was. Last night I knew I had to get up, and I even Googled and pulled up on my phone rain drops. I was counting sheep, listening to rain. I was doing everything, trying to go to sleep. I knew Sunday was coming quick. And I knew I had to get up and prepare. I did not. My body didn't want to get up. And it won't tomorrow. And I promise you, go ahead and plan on it. Neither will yours. You will not wake up in the morning and salute and say, praise the Lord, where's my Bible? I got to study. Yes. Forget the coffee. Give me my Bible. Come on now. You know better. You've been living with you long enough. You know better. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. So, now some people do love studying. I know people who love studying. I happen to be not one of them people. I don't love it. I hate it. Solomon, the wisest man ever to live, said this in Ecclesiastes 12:12. Much study is weariness to the flesh. That's what the wisest man ever to live said. I happen to agree with him. But I want to give us a few reasons and encouragements to study our Bible. This is not calculus. This is not chemistry. This is the Word of God. This is the one book God Almighty left on planet Earth for you to have. It's God's mind on paper. It's everything God wanted you to know. Ain't it amazing how we walk through life not knowing where to go, what to do, how to respond, how to act, when to do it, why we're doing it? And every one of those answers is in His Word that He left as a gift package just for you. And we leave it there. And it's amazing how little we know of this book. Yeah. But I believe we should study, number one, to show. It said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Paul, the apostle, emphasized the importance of studying God's word. Notice his letter. Listen, to Timothy. What he asked for when he sent Timothy a letter. Listen to these verses, 2 Timothy 4:13. He said, Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. He said, I want my books. Bring them to me. But if you have to leave everything behind, don't leave the parchments. Bring me my Bible. No matter what you leave, I need my Bible. And it was important. The Apostle Paul commended the Bereans for their diligent study of the Scripture. Listen to Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, that's interesting. They daily searched the Scriptures. And did you catch that last tag, what it said? Whether those things were so. They had a great preacher. I mean, magnificent preacher. But they still took their Bible, verse by verse, precept upon precept, and made sure what the preacher said was backed up by the book. And I plead with you, do the same. You should not take my word for it, ever. That's how people drink Kool-Aid and die. And I ain't kidding. Our text verse, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not, what, be ashamed. Do you realize how many people will stand before God ashamed at the foolishness that they just took hook, line, and sinker because some preacher with a Bible said so? But God didn't give it just to the Pope or the preacher. God gave it to you to have, to hold, to read, to learn, to study. Study. Daily, they searched the Scriptures. They didn't just surf the Scripture. They searched. They dug in daily. It was a diligent study. They searched the Scriptures. They didn't have Bible programs. They didn't have search engines. They didn't have concordances and Bible dictionaries. They didn't have Google. They had to scour through the scrolls and the manuscripts. And the preacher didn't even give them chapter and verse because they wasn't one. They had to know and to memorize and remember and write it down and then go find that truth in the scrolls. Imagine how much harder they had it than we do. And yet, they were brilliant in the Word and we are not so much. So, it was a diligent study, but then it was a daily study. They searched the Scriptures daily. We eat every day, don't we? Come on now, y'all can do better than that. I mean, even if you ain't going to amen the preaching of the Bible and studying the Bible, you know you eat every day. Every day. And if we eat every day, we should consume the Word of God every day. We should study the Word of God every day. Listen to what Job 23:12 said. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Reckon how much of this we could get in here and here if we esteem this more than our not more than our wants, not more than our bag of Doritos or our candy bars, but it said more than my necessary food. I mean more than my taters and beans, more than what I have to be sustained to live. He said, I esteemed it more. Wonder what we can know and how enlightened we could be if we gave ourselves to the reading and studying of this book and esteemed it more than our daily food. Daily. Daily. It was a dedicated study. said whether those things were so. They didn't take the preacher's word for it. They were not blind sheep taking everything Paul said for fact. They double-checked his preaching to make sure that whether those things were so. Amen. And Paul didn't have a problem with it. Matter of fact, he commended them. Any preacher that ever says, take my word for it, don't. You better take God's word for it. Amen. And any preacher's worth his salt will be able to back it up with the book, or he ain't too good. Amen. He commended them even more than he did the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It goes to show their diligent desire to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's amazing to me, really, if you think about it, how many denominations, how many religions spur off of this one book? I mean, it's mind-boggling. How could so many be from one? Somebody didn't rightly divide the word of truth. Somebody's wrong. That's just a fact. We can't all be right. There is one right way. And it's, I'll say this tonight, and I mean it. I am a Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist because I believe we are the closest to the book of anybody on planet Earth. That's why I'm an independent Baptist. If I thought the doctrines of the Word of God, after studying it, if I thought the Methodist or the Presbyterians or any other denomination, or really, if I thought they was closer, I would leave my letter today. My allegiance is not to a denomination. No, our allegiance should be to truth. Amen. And I won't go into detail, but I'll just simply say, my allegiance ain't even to a church. I've left them for the simple fact that they got messed up in their doctrine. And when a church deviates from truth, so should you deviate from the church. If a preacher deviates from truth, you should be moved from that preacher. You shouldn't give your ear to people who err in the truth. But they good. No, they ain't. They may tickle your ear, but they will get you in a ditch. It'll mess you up for life. And I could take time and give you personal illustration. People I love dearly who right now, this evening, are so messed up, who not even 3 years ago believed like I do. And now they are messed up in the head. I doubt ever to return to truth. And it's heartbreaking. And I'm not talking about goofy people. I'm talking about people who have good minds. That the devil is so deceptive. If you give your ear to hirelings and heretics, they will ruin you. They will ruin you. It's absolutely vital that you know what you believe, and it comes from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. All right. Number one, to show. Number two, to know. It's fascinating how the Old Testament verses and stories have so much relevance today. By the way, that is not an accident. Anybody tells you your Bible's outdated is showing their ignorance. The Bible is alive. It can't be outdated. It woke up before you did this morning. It's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes. It's not outdated. No. No, it's relevant. The Old Testament, Genesis 1:1, was fresher than me today. Yeah. Yeah. So, the Apostle Paul wrote that the stories in the Old Testament were given to us to study. Romans 15:4, listen, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Please get this. You'd be amazed at how many people think that the Old Testament ain't for them. I'm telling you, some of the richest, most blessed truths you'll ever learn, and I mean get, you will learn through the Old Testament. And you've heard it said, but it's so well said. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Yeah. One's not better than the other. One's not superior to the other. They're both the Word of God. Amen. So, I had a man in Georgia. It's a true story. I'd been pastoring about 3 years, and he come and he said, "I'm leaving the church." I said, "Good. I've been praying for that." Under heaven, I did. I had been. I couldn't wait for him and his Jezebel wife to leave. You say, "Am I on that list?" You'll see. No. I do pray for certain people to leave. I do. Don't ask me who. But this individual, I did. I still remember his name and his face and his wife's name. Rough. He said, "I'm leaving the church." I said, "Okay. Bless you, buddy. See you." "You don't even know why." I said, "Don't care. I don't care." "Well, do you know that you've been preaching 3 years and you ain't preached but four times in the last year out of the New Testament?" I said, "Man, you keep good records." I had no idea. No idea, Jim. Remember, I said, "So? What does that mean? I don't comprehend where you're coming from." And he left. And I rejoiced. If I'd have knew that, I would have never preached out of the New Testament. I would have preached 2 years out of the Old Testament. Got rid of him a long time ago. The Old Testament and the New Testament are both God's Word. Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Do we know tonight, do we understand and comprehend that if we fail to know Scripture, there's certain parts and powers of God we will never know or experience. There's some things you'll only get from God through His Word. That's right. And some things you can't get from the Word of God just by reading. You have to dig. Solomon said to his son, Proverbs 1:5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Studying the Bible can be fun. It can be. Listen, we got to get out of our mind. And I started out saying, I don't like studying, and I don't. But you can be creative. I had teachers who saw how bored I got in school. And they come up with creative ideas to allure me and to awaken me. And they would create games and put it into the lesson. And I would start having fun learning and didn't even realize it. It happened. Do you know the Bible ain't near as boring as you think it is? It's the most amazing book on planet Earth. You will never exhaust this book. I'm just going to give you a quick list of things you can study. And this, I could go on for a long time just on how and ways and what you can study. But you can do word studies in the Bible. You can study words, the English, the subdivide, then subdivide them into Hebrew and Greek, etc. Books of the Bible you can study. Each book is an individual entity with an author and an audience, a common goal and a theme, etc. You can study people. Just go through all throughout the Word of God and study different people. The variety of people to study are endless. Shepherds, kings, farmers, men, women, children, etc. Themes in the Bible are profound. Common themes found in Scripture are fascinating. Cross-referencing the Old Testament with the New, they carry. Doctrines you can study. The list of doctrines are staggering, to be honest. Do you know what you believe? Do you know what all Scripture is profitable for doctrine? Do you know what you believe? If not, why not? Parables is another. The hidden truths that Jesus concealed in these simple stories are gold mines of knowledge. Miracles you can study. The Old Testament miracles, New Testament miracles, the ones Jesus performed, the apostolic miracles in Acts, typologies you can study. The typologies, salvation in Genesis 1 of Christ in the tabernacle. There's types. There was a great preacher. I don't even know if he's still alive or preaching, but a man named Don Farmer. Y'all remember Don Farmer? He would take a penny and preach deep theology off of a penny. A friend of mine, Brother Leonard Fletcher, he preaches a message off of the rearview mirror. He'll preach on anything. He will look anywhere and see a type and use it to preach. And he's well known and travels the country doing it because of his unique way of studying preaching. Color, numbers, very significant in the Bible. You can learn a lot of just numerology. And they are very important in the Bible. Colors, red, white, blue, purple, etc., very important. Elements, water, blood, fire, wind, gold, silver. I mean, it's endless. Dispensations. It's important to know what God said, but not just what He said, but to who He said it. A dispensation is just simply God saying something to a specific people at a specific time. In other words, what God said, what you are learning in Sunday school, ain't you glad you're not part of that dispensation? Ain't you glad you're not part? Ain't you glad you're under the dispensation of grace? Ain't you glad that the doctrine of the rapture of the church is going to take you out of here before that starts? And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, come to Sunday school. By the way, I'm preaching on studying your Bible. What better place to start than Sunday school? Yeah. I ain't going to get on the soapbox and hang here long. But there's a pandemic. No, not COVID. American churches are rotting with ignorance at the core. And you know what? Let me tell you what I believe personally is one of the greatest knocks against the church from yesteryear to today. Churches are moving Sunday school off the table. Doing away with it completely. I mean, Baptist preacher friends of mine, I've been tempted to do it because people don't want to come. You can't get the numbers up. It's just a drag all the time, begging, pumping, prying, pushing people to come. So I don't beg people to come no more, but I ain't going to stop because it's the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing. And I know I've been to seminary and Bible college and preaching college and been in church 45 years. And the majority of what I know in my soul come from a Sunday school room. That's right. If you don't raise your children in Sunday school, you are missing a giant opportunity. And don't belittle it. And don't let the devil knock it to the point that you set aside. And I'm telling you, they can get more in Sunday school on a consistent basis that will stick. It's amazing to me. I can't remember what I did last week, but I can remember lessons that come from Olamu and that come from Paul Freeman, who's in heaven, both of them. And I can name you every Sunday school teacher I got, and they have a place in my heart, and I would play games, and I wouldn't act like I wasn't paying attention and thought I wasn't paying attention, but God was putting it in me. Right. It's amazing.
Amen.
It's absolutely amazing. Don't let your children grow up without being in Sunday school.
Amen.
By the way, the best way to accomplish that is bring them.
Amen.
That's right. So, dispensations, places, kingdoms, you can study countries, their significance, typologies of these places like Egypt, Moab, Israel. You can study manners and customs. The Jewish customs add so much richness to the passage of Scripture. And the list goes on and on and on. So, study to show thyself approved. To know, then number three, the reason we should study is to grow. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Joshua, upon taking over after the death of Moses, said this, and I'm going to read this on purpose, and listen, talking about growing and Scripture. Joshua said in Joshua 1:7-8, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you want to be more than you are? I'm sincere tonight. Have you plateaued as a Christian? Are you as big as you ever going to get? Are you as grown? Are you as mature as you ever going to be? Sadly, I know some 70-year-old babies. I speak it to their shame. Set in a Baptist church most of their life, and they're not much more mature than when they started. And that's sad. Baptist churches are full of Baptist babies. Runts. Midgets. Who never matured. Who never grew. Dwarfs. Because there's some growing that you'll only do from the pages of His Word. And Joshua knew that. Joshua knew, if I'm going to be successful, If I'm going to prosper, I must grow. There's some things you will never reach in the Christian life because you're so short and little because you chose not to grow. If you're always needing an adult to get it off the counter for you, let that encourage you. You don't need a preacher spoon feeding you the rest of your life. I ain't saying you ain't going to need a preacher, but you won't need a preacher spoon-feeding you. You shouldn't need a preacher spoon-feeding you. You should be able to get off the bottle. Get off that and learn to consume upon yourself. Do you know what a baby would turn into and how detrimental it would be to a baby if they just continued drinking milk only? They would not grow. It's detrimental to stay on the milk. And you know, and I know, we know this. We know we should study. We know if we don't, we won't grow. And that's why I ask the question, have we plateaued? We were climbing, we were growing. And then there comes a place in the Christian life where you hit a rut. And it gets hard, and what was easy is now hard. And used to that thrill for reading the Bible is no longer there, and that drive to get you on your knees is no longer there, and the flesh don't want to, and life is busy, and you've learned to make it on your own. And we settle. We crest, and we just settle there. And that ain't so bad for a moment. But ruts don't get dug just sitting there for a moment. You got to stay there. And the longer you stay there, the deeper it gets. And the harder it gets to get out. An illustration, you want a good one that'll wake some of y'all up? The only brand new truck I ever bought, the only brand new vehicle I've ever owned, I had it, Amazon green, Ford F-150, brand spanking new. Drove it home from the dealership. The very next morning, it's going deer hunting. Went to P Ridge, pulled out on the power line, way out in the middle of nowhere, no phone signal, and I seen the tracks, the tire tracks going out on the power line, and the grass growing up in the middle of the tracks, and I pulled my truck out there, that old light rear end just got out there. I said, "Oh no, I can't even call nobody." I said, "I'm gonna rock this thing, get it out." I mean, brand new, like 20 miles on it, and I'm rocking and rocking, and I'm trying to get my brand new truck out of there. And back and forth and back and forth, and I ain't moving, but I think I am. I'm working real hard at going down is what I'm doing, because I'm going down so slow I don't even realize it. And I go down little by little until I hear something that don't sound right. I mean, I heard mud slinging, but this didn't sound like mud slinging. I heard something popping. What is that? I opened my door and it wouldn't open because it hit the ground. I was that low. And when I got it that far open, whoosh, flames coming out from under my brand new truck. My exhaust had got so low it caught the grass on fire under me in my brand new truck. And me out in the middle of nowhere, no way to call the fire department. And so I dove out the window and I start punching and kicking dirt and mud, and I'm trying to put my truck. It was terrible. Needless to say, I did not go deer hunting. Got all the way there. Oh, I started walking up the road and caught a hitchhiked on a school bus and got home. That's how I got home, with my brand new truck sitting out in the woods. My point, ruts ain't good. Ruts ain't good. And if you stay the same place long enough, you're going down. And your life's going to catch fire. And it's going to make a mess and leave you stranded. You cannot stay at the same place. You will go down and you'll go back. So I ain't backslid. I'm right where I was. I doubt it, because God's moving. Yeah. If you're standing still, you're backing up. And we can't afford it. We can't afford it. Amen. All right, so to show, to, the Bible said, Psalm 119, 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So to show, to know, to grow. And then finally, and you're going to get out of here before 7 o'clock, and all God's people said, I'm spoiling y'all. Finally, why should you study? To show, to know, and to grow, but finally, to sow. It's hard to sow seed that you hadn't received. When your bag's empty, you ain't got nothing to give. Now, you can fake it for a little bit. You preachers listening? You can fake it for a little bit. I know some evangelists who've got about 3 sugar stick sermons. And they preach it all over, all the time. And people will come and say, how amazing, a preacher. And that's great. But do it 3 times a week, brand new every time for a while. And then let me hear how great you are. I can polish up a penny and make it pretty. But I need to spend mine to sow into people something new, something fresh, something not repeated, something not memorized. Are you hearing me? You can fake it for a while, but you better be digging to get more. Are you going to come up empty and have nothing to offer anybody? Yeah. And that ain't just for preachers. That's for teachers. If you teach here, I expect you to study. And that ain't too much to expect. Amen. Yeah. You should study. Would you want me to get up and preach to you every week off of a 10-minute study? And just give you something I learned 20 years ago and repeat that and put that on repeat? How soon would that run out? People would get bored and tired and say, I need more. Have you ever heard, and it very, very seldom is it legitimate, I'm just not getting fed. Usually that comes from a backslidden reprobate that's looking for a reason to leave the church, usually. But if a preacher ain't studying and preparing, or a teacher ain't studying and preparing, and you sit in that class week in and week out, or service in, and you just ain't getting nothing, I don't blame you. Go somewhere where you're going to get fed. But don't be choosy, because if you just go where they're going to feed you sugar all the time, that ain't good either. Amen. A preacher sent me a message the other day and said, you need to listen to this preacher in this sermon. His message was called, he said, this preacher, his testimony reminds me of you. And so I thought, well, I need to listen to this. And it was called From the Gridiron to the Gospel. And my goodness, what a message. Preacher Bulls preached a tremendous message. Professional football player, got saved, and called to preach, and started preaching. And had a mama who prayed for him and got him there. Anyway, he talked about how he was in business, and he could just say anything to anybody and get it done. But when it got to preaching, you couldn't just come dry. You couldn't come with nothing. You had to have something from the Lord, because people who's used to eating fresh food don't want processed food. People who grew up eating out of the garden don't care nothing about your Benny Winnies. I think that stuff's what's giving us cancer and dementia and all that too. Amen. I think it's time we all get back to the pure Word of God individually, right from the source, tapped right from God. No additives. It's healthy. And when you do, you will have something in your soul to spread and share and sow. And that's what God put you here for. But please take this last sentence home. You never know when God's going to let a sinner come to you. And how heartbreaking to get to heaven and have bloody hands and hear as they walk by, oh, you're saved. We're on the right side of the judgment. But to have bloody hands as they walk by and you hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Bind them hand and foot, cast them in the outer darkness, and they scream your name, I came to you. You said you was a Christian. I came to you, and you had nothing. It's important that we have the seed to sow into other people's lives. And it may not even be a lost person. It may be a saved person who's struggling, and I mean at the breaking point. And God's put seed in your satchel to get them over the hump. And what if you don't have it? They leave broken. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's my challenge. Said, that ain't interesting to me. I can't make it interesting. I can just give you what the Bible says to do. And that's got to be good enough. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for every promise, Lord, every precept, every principle, Lord, in your word. Thank you. Lord, how I've taken it for granted. Oh, God, forgive me. God, how many days and nights, Lord, is set on my counter, Lord, collecting dust in my truck, Lord. God, help me to take your word serious, Lord. God, I'm so far behind. Lord, help me to put it in gear. God, to get out of the rut. Oh, God, I pray you'd give us a tug, Lord. Help us over the hump. God, help your people to fall in love with your word afresh, Lord. Give us a revival, Lord, of the word of God. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be honest with ourselves, with just what we know. God, I don't want to stand before you one day ashamed. God, you give us so much, Lord, and you will require so much. Forgive me, Lord, for failing in my study. Lord, help me and help these, God. Help us all, Lord, to grow in your word. God, to know your word. Be able to sow your word. We bless you. Well, thank you in Jesus' name.